At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Greetings, travelers. We probably ought to change that background for when we just record episodes like this. So
okay.
Because it says we the should. Live will be coming shortly. It's such a tease. It's a gigantic tease.
I know. And for those of you catching this later on YouTube, we're sorry.
Yes, we apologize greatly for our incredible ineptitude, as it's so
hey, happened. You know, we are a professional podcast here. Come on.
We are the most professional podcast, Mark, in the entire universe.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy. I can't believe we do all the things we do.
We do. I wanted to actually take a moment. We don't do this very often, but we have some pretty amazing patrons that support us. So I thought it would be smart maybe to give it a shout out to a few of them. I'm going to give a shout out to 6 of them to start. So,
oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Because we don't have time for all of them, but we're going to start with first 6. James Boys. So James Boys, that's not their actual name, but that is their Patreon name. So greetings.
Hey, we love their Patreon name.
Traveler. And then we have Jen Mao. Greetings, second elite traveler.
Yeah.
Then we have a couple seasoned travelers I was going to give a shout out to. One of them is Rick S. Not going to say your last name, Rick, but by the way, we love the buttons. Stay Spooky you created for us. You're amazing.
Yeah,
we saw Rick at the last Smoky Mountain Bigfoot, so hopefully he'll be at this Smoky Mountain Bigfoot. That would be great.
Love
yeah,
to see
and
him.
You don't have to bring us presents, Rick. They're not required, but of course, highly encouraged because I like shiny objects. Very much like a fae in that way. And then Shivani V, shout out seasoned traveler. And then I think I'm going to hit up 2 skillful travelers. So we'll do a John C. and a William W. So we adore you guys. Thank you so much for continuing to support our podcast. So if you go to patreon.com and then / Eerie Travels, you will find us and you can see all the neat stuff. And there's lots of swag our patrons get. So, and we're going to be starting here. I think this month are little Patreon only mini episodes.
Yeah, we've got a few on the way. We're sorry about the delay on those, but we're having enough trouble with my health and everything else trying to get 1 or 2 a week out. So sorry, gang. We do what we can.
Mark's zombie mode, it needs to be rectified. But
yeah, and we did meet a couple Patreon members at the Orlando, while we were down for the Orlando Oddities. And they've been some of our members from the beginning. And they actually bought one of Carrie's hats, her new wizard hat that she's been crocheting. So thank you so much for that. A pleasure seeing you all. As always, we love meeting our people at our events. So it was nice to see them.
Yes, yeah. I saw a few at the Indie PopCon where I was with the Four Horsemen booth. But a few travelers showed up and picked up the Dark Side of the Smokies, which was fun and a lot of good fun feedback. So we're going to have some updated quotes, some very amazing people here shortly that are going to go live with the book. But Mark, I'm wearing pajama pants still this morning, so I don't know what's going on as obviously. What are we talking about today?
Okay, so one of the things we're talking about is, well, let me start with the poem.
Okay.
And this is the bunny trail I started.
Uh-oh.
Because we got this requested from us from a listener question. So they asked us if we knew about this, and I knew a little bit about this, but I did not know how far the rabbit trail would lead me. I'll start with a poem, and then let's see. Good thing we're recording in the day for you, Erica. So this is a variation on the ancient poem used by the Celts. So it may not be quite the original you may know, but this is the closest I could find to the original. So,
okay.
If Rawhead creeps inside your head, look three times or you'll be dead. But close your eyes and count to 10, and Rawhead will be gone again. Immortal giant of November, taller than the tallest tree. Lanky limbs with claws to sever, a mind so dark it cannot see. Darkness fills the air around it, incarnating nightmares causing strife. So count to 10 before you see it, or Rawhead's gonna take your life.
I don't like any of that. No. What is a Rawhead? That sounds terrible.
Okay, so Rawhead, sometimes called Bloody Bones or Rawhead Rex, he's pretty much, or sometimes he's called Mr. You know, he's basically just the boogeyman, right?
Okay.
He's got, you know, tons of names. Another one was Tommy Rawhead, etc. You know, and basically that poem is from the 1500s. We know in 1693. There's John Locke wrote about him, and there's more tellings of Rawhead and Bloody Bones, where maybe Rawhead is his head and Bloody Bones is his body. And there's variations. Sometimes he's just called Old Bloody Bones. And so M.R. James, the king of ghost stories of England in 1925, wrote about him and how he infected folk tales. And he lumped together what hobgoblins, Rawhead, and Bloody Bones. And so they're basically nursery rhyme boogeymen, right? Okay. And then here's his quote from 1659. Most people are aghast at them, like children at Rawhead and Bloody Bones. So it's just kind of like a general boogeyman, that kind of like the modern hook hand guy, right?
Yeah.
That we've heard so much about. So here we go. So that's where we're starting. Now, the reason I kind of had to go down this folklore trail is because I had grown up with him being an Appalachian legend. So that my grandmother would say, if you're not careful, Rawhead and Bloody Bones will get you while you're out there in the woods at night.
You got to listen to your grandma, because she was aware of the bench leg and other things. So,
Mama Muncie, we miss you very much. So, so we've got to also realize that there is this other culture, you know. So the Appalachians adopted this, as we've discussed this many a time, where the Irish legends, the Scottish legends, because the Appalachian mountains are basically the same as the Scottish Highlands and Ireland. So, of course, they come over here and they go, wow, this land looks exactly like home. So they resettle. And so a lot of their legends come with them and resettle here. And it's because it is the same mountains. It is the same things. And like we've discussed with the Fae and other things like that, it's easy to transplant. It's that whole American gods theory and stuff like that. So we love that. But, okay, so these guys are kind of a concept. They're not a singular entity, right? Again, they're just this monstrous figure with raw, exposed skull and bones of dripping blood and just really grotesque. My mamma said it hid under the stairs. And way, if I didn't obey and go right to bed, I would wind up being captured. And that it's just a bloody head on a pile of bones. And the bones are made of children who didn't listen to their mamas and their papas.
So, I don't love that at all.
Yeah. So psychological impact there. I mean, that's a primal fear, right?
Yeah. You know?
I mean, I was more concerned about my, you know, my dad whooping me or my mamma whooping me. So it was more, this is teaching us boundaries, right? Teaching us dangers and obedience. And that's what they really are. But I tried to find the origins of this. So we've got those figures in British folklore, probably some sort of blend of European Celtic stuff like that, because it's been around a long time, but I cannot find an origin prior to that 1548 fragments of a poem that a few people have expanded on and made that full poem out of the different fragments. I love that they've expanded on that. I don't think it would be that, but it's a pretty solid poem. I thought opening with that was good. But here's the deal. It got picked up by the Gullah culture or the Geechee culture of South Carolina. And in fact, when you're researching this, you'll see a lot more of that than you will of that original Celtic and European version of it. So where did that come from? Right?
Yeah.
This is African culture. This is Europe. But what we learn very quickly is the Gullah culture and the African culture, basically they blended into the European culture. And wow. So it becomes this cross-pollination of a strong god, but then these wonderful young beliefs with it, the spirit beliefs. And wow, it's just suddenly you go, wow, this is something completely different. So they're basically the descendants of West and Central Africans who were enslaved and brought to the lower Atlantic states, generally North Carolina, South Carolina, a little bit of Florida, and a lot of Georgia coastal areas.
Got it.
And they were on the coastal plantations, generally 90% of them. And so because they were on the sea and barrier islands, they were able to retain a lot of their African traditions.
Okay. And
that's why their food is a little different. The arts and crafts are a little different from other imprisoned workers elsewhere. And they also kind of created a new version of Creole called Gullah, which is only spoken there and nowhere else in the world. And they have a great cultural and heritage center. And it's, I'm trying to remember where. It's in St. John's County and in Florida. And it's pretty darn cool and amazing place to see. Now, there's back to Bloody Bones, right? So he comes back to this. And it's just this skeleton that keeps coming up. Now, their version of it is this simple ghost story where I'm on the first step.
Okay.
I'm on the second step. And that sort of thing as you're trying to get the kids to go to bed. Right? And their version of it was a mean little boy named Little 8 John who didn't listen to his mother. So he squashed frogs. He climbed trees. He sat backwards on chairs. His mother said, stop doing this or Bloody Bones come get you. But of course, he didn't pay attention. And one night, Bloody Bones comes and eats Little 8 John, leaving just a stain on the kitchen table. The next morning, his mother was clearing the house. She wiped the stain, and that's it. That's the end of Little 8 John.
That is a terrible story.
Yeah. And now I have heard people in the Ozarks talk about it. And that's, again, that's the Appalachian folktale. And that story was completely different, where it was an old witch who brings a dead hog back to life. And what?
And so, no. Why would you do that? Why was this a special hog?
Well, the story goes is that she's this old lady with a hooked nose and crossed eyes. Hey, we've heard this before. And she lives in an old house out in the woods, and her house is full of herbs and roots and bottles filled with conjuring medicine. And the walls are lined with strange books brimming with spells. And she'll have one friend, a mean old tough razorback hog that, you know, just kind of runs around the place. And the hog would root through her garbage, eat her roots and potions. And so it ate so much that it became where it could walk upright. And that's why she liked him and became a friend with him. And then a couple of people said they seen the pig just sitting on a rocking chair with her while they were talking and drinking potions. But anyway, supposedly that story, the guy was, you know, too drunk to really believe it. But Rawhead was what she gave the name of the Razorback, because he looked like a little bit of dead pigs coming back towards coming to Slaughter. So, and Rawhead liked the name, so he hung around her. And then basically people got so used to seeing them in town. And then one day she came in without him and they're like, "Where's Rawhead? I ain't seen him around today. I'm mighty worried. Have you seen him in town?" She'd say, "Well, nobody's seen him around today. And they sure would have told me if they saw him without you." And she said, "Well, that's kind of you. If you see him, tell him to come home straight away." And so she walks home. And it wasn't like Rawhead to disappear, especially not during the day. So the man at the mercantile always saved the best scraps for Razorback. And Rawhead never missed that. So when she got home, she mixed up a potion, poured it on a flat plate, put that raw scraps on there. Where has he got to? She was wondering. And she saw an old hunter that she knew lived on the other side of the ridge. And he was a good-for-nothing guy. And she knew he rounded up other Razorback hogs that didn't belong to him. So she went after him, and sure enough, one of the hogs was Rawhead. And so she saw him taking him down to town to get slaughtered. And she then saw it was too late. Rawhead had already been slaughtered with the rest of the pigs. And so murder was on her mind. And everybody knew Rawhead was her friend. So she tried to practice white magic most of the time, but she did know the dark secrets. So she pulled out an old secret book her granny had given her, and she turned to the last page. So she lit her candles, put them around the plate containing the picture of Rawhead that she had made out of the meat and his bloody bones, and she began to chant, "Rawhead, bloody bones, Rawhead, bloody bones." And the lights disappeared, and "Rawhead, bloody bones, Rawhead, bloody bones." And the lightning strikes the plate and threw out the window. And when the lightning strikes the severed head of Rawhead, that's when he rises up and he gets his vengeance on the hunter. "Bloody bones got up and danced," she said. And the bones turned into a skeleton. And that's when he's still around.
Oh, my gosh. I guess well done to her, right? Is that what I'm supposed to say at this point? I don't even know what to think at this point, but I will say this. We have to take a quick break, so we will be right back, travelers, after a word from some of our sponsors.
All right.
Destiny Beard, the lyrical soprano who will haunt your dreams. With her alluring melodies and intricate harmonies, this dark siren of wistful song shall capture your soul and lead you into the night. Check out Destiny's new single, "The Haunting Is Over," with international musicians Sam Haynes and Gary Bennett, as well as her other musical works at destinybeard.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
There's the whole second part of that where it's the whole, the better to see you with, the better to hear you with, where Rawhead is telling him, you know, that his claws are there, the better to dig your grave, the eyes are better to see you, to kill you, and stuff like that.
And stuff like that. I like how you say and stuff like that as if that's not a big deal.
It just keeps going and keep going. Now, Clive Barker used the name of Rawhead Rex basically from this. Right.
Okay.
It's a completely different story, though. Some, and then they made a movie out of it. That's again two steps removed from the original, from the original, from the original. So no, Gullah culture. We've got to talk about a couple other monsters here.
Oh,
the next one.
I like where this is going. Not at all. Go ahead.
All right. So the next one is the Boo Hag. This is actually more of a genuine just from the Gullah culture.
Okay.
And this one, again, is a bit more West African belief before that. There they would be called what the equivalent of the soul eater or a spirit vampire. Okay. I kind of stumbled on these while I was doing my mini-sodes on vampires of the world, but okay. I had heard these. We actually were working on this for another book.
Yeah.
That will be out at some point, I'm sure. But the Boo Hag is a malevolent spirit.
Yes.
And they would often say, be careful, son, or you'll get ridden by the Boo Hag.
Well, that can be taken many ways in today's culture, but probably not the same back then. Anyway.
All right. So I'm going to give you the Boo Hag story real quick. All right.
Yeah.
So, excuse me. So this one is completely crazy story as well. So it's basically a mythological creature that along southern region of the U.S., and this one inhabits swamps, inhabits the backwoods, and it's very similar to the night hag or the succubi or the pale lady, you know, okay. that we love. And it's famous because it was included in Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. So, which we all grew up with, hopefully, if you saw those weird books and the Scholastic book fairs and you bought them with those crazy illustrations. And it's a haint or the hag, depending on which person you talk to. And it would be able to creak through doors and cracks, and it would slip through keyholes or sometimes come down your chimney. And what it would do is it would climb onto your back and then whisper to you or cause unexplained noises or movements. And it's kind of, we think it kind of comes from the French word bogey, which becomes, you know, ghosts, hobgoblins, where we get the boogeyman. And then some people think it comes from boo, you know, the word to scare people. And each legend is a little different. So the main legend I heard was that a lady accused of witchcraft, and she was a healer and a midwife and well-respected, but her success and knowledge made people think she was a witch. So one woman in town falls ill and the doctor's unable to cure. So the women's parents turned to the old lady in the woods. Can you fix her? And she was able to cure the young woman using her herbs. But however, that meant she's a witch. So rumors start circulating. And the townspeople are like, we've got to get rid of this person. And so she's brought before a magistrate. And the magistrate's under the pressure of all the town. So witchcraft, burn her at the stake. And as she's cursing the town because, oh my gosh, why would you do this? And she comes back in the form of this shadow creature that swarms over the town. And she haunts the town for years, and she torments their descendants. And she would just do that. She would crawl through the cracks, and she would get into the houses. And people would sprinkle salt around the town and their doors to protect themselves. Or they would place a horseshoe above the door. We've heard that before, right?
Yeah, totally.
What's a horseshoe made out of usually back then?
Iron.
Yeah, iron. So despite the precautions, though, the Boo Hag starts wrecking vengeance. I know you love these vengeance ghosts.
I do love me a vengeance ghost. Yeah. If you're going to do it, don't just do it because you're doing it. Do it with a heated purpose in which to right a wrong that, for the record, never gets righted, so they can just keep going. I appreciate that about them.
So Boo Hag's basically a traveling spirit, usually has a bad death to it. And usually 90% of the time it's a female, although I have heard of a couple male Boo Hags. And what they do is they get on their back and they're draining your life force. They're draining this away from you. So there are a few ways to protect yourself from Rawhead, Bloody Bones, and the Boo Hag. So the first one, as we discussed, salt. Lay salt out. That way they can't cross a line of salt. But that's the problem with the Boo Hag, is it can get in through the cracks and stuff like that.
Got it.
And as what happens with Rawhead and Bloody Bones, sometimes they're already in your house. They're under your stairs. So that's not going to help you.
Now I have to check under my stairs today, Mark. Thank you for that. Yep.
Iron works because you put that on and it will protect you from various things. You put iron around your house, wear iron, that'll protect you. But if all that fails, a broom. Put a broom by your front door. Okay? Because the Boohag and Bloody Bones have the same thing that vampires have. They have OCD. They can't come in until they count every bristle on the broom. And because of that, it's sunrise and they can't come in because it takes them all night to count the bristles on your broom. So you need a very particularly brushy broom.
Yeah, I was going to say, and probably one of those ones that's all scraggly and not in just perfect order to make it even harder on them.
Yep. And one of the things are spices. The Boohags and Rawhead don't like spices because it reminds them of their life and their smells. So if you do that, you want to put cinnamon on your broom or something like that. Now, that's not necessarily where the origin of the cinnamon brooms come from, but it ain't going to hurt it. We're going to take advantage of that.
I do love a good cinnamon broom. I'm not going to lie. It's one of my favorite smells.
Yeah, I like the ones we picked up last year, the pumpkin spice brooms. Those were good too. So I'm not complaining. Now there's one other surefire way of keeping it away, and that is to paint your porch, the top of your porch, paint it haint blue, or paint all the windowsills around you haint blue. Now, as we said, haint is another wonderful word for haints or haunts or ghosts. And that became a very popular term in the corruption of it, most from Gullah culture, but also just the Southerners and the Appalachians. We got to watch out for them haints. Now, haint blue is usually, a pale shade of blue-green, and it's very common in the South. If you go to Savannah, every tour will tell you about the haint blue. And it's basically to mimic water. Because that's another thing these things can't cross is running water. We've heard that in vampire legends. We've heard that in everything. It goes back to the Headless Horseman legend where you got to run across the river. You can't cross the river. And the Fae can't cross running water. And all these things can't cross running water. But if you paint running water on your roof, maybe that'll stop them.
Interesting concept. I am thinking a lazy river moat around my house.
That might work too. But there's other reasons to use haint blue.
Oh.
Yes, it protects you from spirits. It protects you from this. But there also, for some reason, the houses with haint blue didn't have as many insects. Now, as we know, down here in South Carolina, Georgia, Florida coast, our state birds are the mosquitoes and the chiggers and what we call the no-see-ums. Those are the ones that come up and bite you and you never saw them.
Exactly. And they're terrible.
Yeah. So the reason you do the haint, why do the houses with haint blue on them? Erica, can you guess why, wasps and bees avoid these and a lot of other things avoid them?
Because they think they're water?
No. Close. They think it's sky. So there's nothing to go there for. It's just sky. But there's also another reason to make haint blue, particularly back in the day. One of the most common things to make the pigment was indigo plants. Oh. And crushed indigo wards off mosquitoes, wards off a lot of bugs. Most bugs don't like the smell of indigo. So painting your old doors with these colors was also a secret way of protecting yourself from all these things. It's amazing. You secretly protect yourself from the bugs. It's so cool. And so this was the inspiration for it, right? And now we've learned it stands the test of time. So much so that there are paints available to this day from various sources. So Dutch Boy is considered the best haint blue paint. And that is, if you're decorating your house, that is Tender Blue 236-3DB by Dutch Boy. It is known as Tender Blue, a soft sky blue reminiscent of the clear sky day. Perfect shade to draw the eye up to embrace a tall porch and add some charm and comfort. That's how they advertise it. But if you ask them, it's because it's Haint Blue. Now, Sherwin-Williams, our other favorite one, they have Tradewind, SW6218.
They haven't added sponsoring our show at all. So just in case anyone is going, wait, is Erie Travels sponsored by Dutch Boy? No, but no. We want you to.
No, we're not sponsored by Dutch Boy or Sherwin-Williams. And was it B-E-H-R? I can never pronounce that one, the German beer. That one's Bear. Moonglass. Moon Bear. All right. That's yeah. Moonglass. That's their Haint Blue. So there you go. There's a little deeper blue green. So one of those will do you, but ask them to crush in some indigo with it. So that way it keeps away the bugs. But wasps won't nest in it because there's nowhere to put a wasp nest because it looks like blue sky, you know, that sort of thing. So it's a many, many useful thing. And it's just such a staple now. It's become a popular home color choice. So that's great. You know, we can't go wrong with that. So when you're out there hunting for your house, make sure you got a good, proper Haint Blue available for it, for your porch and all around your house. So, or do like Erica, build a moat.
Yes, build a moat. Do not forget about my iron spikes. I have many things happening. But with that, Mark, I, even though it's daytime, I'm thoroughly creeped out now and have to go check under my stairs and under my bed in so many places. And I think I'm going to put my iron necklace on as soon as we're done with this podcast, because now you're freaking me out.
Yeah, so, don't get ridden by the boo hag. So
yes.
Oh, terrifying. Okay. The cure for the boo hag. One last thing. The cure for the boo hag, iron scissors to cut her off your back where she's riding and stuck into you like a tick. So,
well, now I have to get a pair of iron scissors. So, like, you've made a very long to-do list.
Add that to the shopping list. Yep, add that to your shopping list.
So, travelers, don't forget to come see us at Smoky Mountain Bigfoot. Me and Mark will be there. Mark will at least make an appearance, but come out and see us. We will have copies of Dark Side of the Smokies. So, it's very apropos. And, Mark, take us away.
Yep. So travelers, thank you again. And thank you, Patreon members. We gave you some shout outs, but we have many, many more of you to shout out. Thank you all so much for being a part of this. And some of you have been around from the beginning. Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. A million thank yous. And for you new Patreon members, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We can't thank you enough. But I could sit here saying thank you for 30 minutes, but I'm not going to do that. So, but that said, for all you who aren't Patreon members, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Share it, like it. If you're following us on YouTube, make sure you push that little button down in the bottom, the little bell. And thank you for, you'll know when the new episodes are up. All that. We go into the woods at night, or you head out to the Carolina coast or the Georgia coast, or even that northern Florida coast. And you're out wandering through the swamps and enjoying that wonderful sea air that's blowing over you. And you hear a strange noise like rattling bones. Or you might hear the cackle of the boo hag. Or you might hear that snort and wonder, oh God, is that raw head and bloody bones? No, that's probably Hogzilla. And we'll see you on the other side.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.